What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1-300-872-911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846-4CA.
Actually, I must admit, a little while ago, I put a call through to Gavin King. He's just responded and he's arrived in studio. It's very important I talk with Gavin because he goes back quite some years. He's a former member for Cairns at a time when we were just starting to see an outbreak of crime in our city, and efforts were, well, as I mentioned the other day, they even brought a task force up from Brisbane at one stage because things were getting out of control. Within 4 or 5 days, everything was totally under control. And, of course, then they go back to Brisbane and bit by bit it goes backwards again. And I brought this up again the other day. I can't remember there's an official title for whatever that was. It wasn't task force, but it worked. Can we get that again? Apparently not. I mean, there's any number of people saying this is an emergency. Crime in our town is an emergency. So what we do from here to get action, I don't know. But, Gavin, welcome to the discussion on this very important matter.
Good morning, John.
Go back to those days. I'm glad you've come in today because I remember there was just the beginning of an emergency way back then. Talk to me about your thoughts, your memories of where we went back then.
Well, it was one of the key reasons that I jumped into politics out of the old Cairns Post days because crime, in particular antisocial behaviour here in the CBD, was absolutely out of control, and the Labor government at the time, of course, had been in power for many, many years and they were just incapable of addressing it. In fact, they denied or ignored that there was a problem. So it was certainly a key motivator for me, and I know, you know, other LNP colleagues at the time. And I remember very, very early on, John, when we were elected in 2012, we released the Cairns Crime Action Plan, and it was a document we put together, very comprehensive, working across all government agencies, working with the local council, working with all kinds of stakeholders. And it was a comprehensive plan, absolute number one priority for us up here at time in government. It was just, there were lots of other things to address, of course, hospital and health and schools, but we just said, it has got to a point where crime is our number one priority. And we didn't take our foot off the pedal until it was under control. Yeah. And we did get it under control because it was the number one priority.
One of the great disappointments for me was how Lincoln Springs was closed down. Now, he used to come on this program, the gentleman who was running that at the time, that program, and there were really good signs of kids getting back on the rails. It's similar to the Jeff Guest model of all those years ago, and suddenly the cost was considered to be too great, and it was closed down by the then government with the commitment it would be replaced by another model that would be more economically feasible. One brick.
Well, can you imagine if that was still going today, if it was still running continuously? And we had the stuff up, and I think that's universally acknowledged. We had the stuff up at Coranda. We tried to do a boot camp style thing there, and that was a disaster, and kids got out, and I think they held a knife to someone, so that was a disaster. So we did something different, but we kept trying, and I visited Lincoln Springs. I spent quite a bit of time out there, and it was incredible, John. It was absolutely incredible. They were working with wild horses. They were up early in the morning. They were doing things like washing their bloody dishes and making their own breakfast, and a bit of hard work, a bit of education, out completely remote. You couldn't walk down the street and steal things and commit other crimes because you were so remote. And was it expensive? Well, yeah. I mean, all kinds of that type of intervention is expensive, but it was working. And the report that was done after it showed that it was successful. But the report, unfortunately, highlighted the costs. And that's what the Labor government used to shut it down, and we haven't seen anything since. And, of course, if it had been continuing to go and continuing to operate, you would not have the crime problem that we've got today, I can guarantee you.
Yeah. I want to turn to this CBD nightmare. Of course, we were alerted to this about a week ago. Reports were coming in the morning about this catastrophe through our CBD. Not one restaurant, restaurant after restaurant after restaurant. Just briefly, here's an update from one of the restaurateurs starting to throw furniture. This was at about 7 minutes past 10. Tables and chairs were thrown into the inlet at Mondo's, proceeded along to Wally's, damaging their signage, smashing it up, trying to break the signage at Dundee's to no avail. They proceeded to Oka Restaurant, started to smash up the furniture. The staff asked them to move on. The kids became violent. We're talking kids. These are children of 11, 12, 13 years of age, and it's just beyond belief what's happening now. The kids become violent, punch one of the waitresses in the face, split her lip, stole her mobile phone. The situation escalated from that point. They moved to the Sunset Bar, commenced arguing amongst themselves. The restaurant staff asked them to move on. That's when it became violent again. They smashed, apparently had smashed a rather large pot plant. A broken piece of the pot plant with triangle shape was put to the throat of one of the staff members. As the staff member pushed the attacker away, he attacked him, cut his hand, which needed ambulance attention. It goes on. Two people taken to the hospital after being assaulted by the group. And of course, once again, they moved on with the anybody nearby, including international tourists, copying that foul insult. Everyone was an effing white sea. I mean, this
it's
is a
war
tourist
zone.
Town.
It's a third war world. Zone. It's third world war zone sort of stuff.
It says the group started to move on, yelling, screaming obscenities, started hurling rocks the size of tennis balls. It goes on to say residents from the complex could hear the disturbance, very upset, quite loud and violent, rocks being thrown, glass smashing. Very scary situation. These children were relentless with absolutely no fear, as they keep saying, "You can't touch us. We're untouchable, and we're underage." This is what we've allowed to develop under our noses in this town.
Yeah. It's sickening. I mean, there's no other word for it. Peak tourism season. Forget it. You know, apart from the restaurateurs and the staff and the residents upstairs, it's peak tourism season. So there's people everywhere. I mean, it is third world war zone stuff.
Exactly.
It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening.
Actually, this is interesting. I looked at my screen and I just see Managing Director CBRE Kent. Danny Betros has called in. Morning, Danny.
Yeah, g'day, John.
This is very timely. Yeah. You're around the CBD a lot. You would have heard what happened a week ago, the night of, I think it was last Tuesday anyway, in town. What are your thoughts on where we're going with this lunacy?
Well, you know, when does the penny drop with the state government that, you know, something's got to be done. And unfortunately, we have a generation of untouchables. The laws have created that. Incarceration is an absolute last resort. The recent changes made to the youth justice do nothing, zero. The fact is judges still don't want to, send them away. Look, it's a very complicated problem. And there's a lot of discussions both within Labor and the LNP about early intervention, but you have to start by, you know, creating some sort of deterrent to the current behaviour. And it's no different to when, you know, we've all raised kids, right? So if, you know, if one of your kids is running amok and misbehaving and not doing anything that they're supposed to, you know, there's consequences at home, there's consequences, there's discipline. But at the moment, there is no discipline, there are no consequences. And therefore, they know the rules. They've been in and out of the courtroom. They get a nice little slap. They get given a new phone. They go into these halfway houses where there's absolutely no control. So, you know, you've got to wonder who thinks of these policies and why. There should be some mandatory sentencing for certain behaviour. For instance, if you go and steal a car, really, you should be immediately, you know, there should be a jail term of 6 or 12 months for that. I mean, that is a serious offence, stealing someone's car. It's the same if you're going to go and, you know, like what a 12-year-old's doing out at 10:30, 12:30, 2 in the morning. The problem then gets back to the parents, where the welfare money's going. It's a much, much more complicated problem solving long term. But initially, you've got to start with consequence. Otherwise, you're not going to change anything. It just goes on and on. So, you know, the old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again without any consequence, that's exactly what we've got at the moment from the current government. The Labor government, and I'm not even sure the Liberals have got an answer. Both of them, all politicians really, are basically just too gutless to take a hardline approach because they're worried about someone or some policy or some UN report or some other welfare report saying, no, that's not the way to do it. And they're not. They don't have the guts to stand up and say, well, that's not working, we're going to try this. You've got to start with some mandatory sentencing, right? So you want to bash someone in the CBD, go and do 6 months jail. Yeah. You want to steal someone's car, go and do 12 months jail.
Yeah.
Then you've got consequences, not, we're just going to go to court, judge is going to slap us on the wrist, record no conviction, nobody knows who we are because they can't see our identity. That's no way to change anything in the short term. We can all talk about longer term, early intervention, other issues around welfare and halfway houses. That's a longer term problem. What we need to do is immediately bring back some sort of consequences for a scumbag behaviour. That's, the Labor aren't going to do it. I'm not even sure the LNP will do it because they're all scared of someone else pointing the finger at them and saying, oh, you're doing the wrong thing. If human rights comes into it, UN reports come into it about incarceration of...
Well, Danny, it's Gavin here. I also think these kids need to be taken out of their environment. They need to be taken, whether it's out bush or whatever it is. And, I've got my doubts about Cleveland. It's a bit of a holiday camp, in fact. So, mate, they need to be removed and immediately get them out of their current scene, get them out of, harm's way in terms of what harm they cause to others. And they need to be taken out bush. And if they want to try and escape or walk away, they'll be walking through the desert because...
It
needs to be an immediate line in the sand to say you can no longer have the freedoms that you've been enjoying and abusing, and you're out. You're out for however long it takes, because, like you said, long-term solutions are great, intervention is great, and that needs to happen as well, but it doesn't solve the immediate problem.
You can set up... Look, by the time the government got around to finding a camp somewhere and, staffing it, operating it, and even then they operated under so many la-di-da... soft, wet fish sort of handshake type treatments out in these places that, it'll take another 2 years to get one set up, maybe three. At the moment we have prisons, and until we got a better solution, they've got to go into prison. If you're going to do an adult crime, then do the adult time. And, bashing somebody, whether you're 12, 13 or 17 or 18, that is an offence. Now they've got to do time. We can go and set up all these camps, the rural camps. I think a really good idea, but, it takes too long. And even then, they're worried about the rights of the criminal. All the attention is on the rights of the criminal and the perpetrators.
Well, it shouldn't be that way, though. That's what it is. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to take 2 or 3 years. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't have to, because if it's a priority of government and they get action from all levels and all departments. Now,
LNP or ALP, Green, whatever, they are going to put it out to tender. They're going to have a look at it. They're going to have a raft of regulations, rules. They're going to have it.
But there are models around the world where this stuff works. There's models that have happened in Queensland that have worked. So can't we just take the best practice, take the bits that work, adapt it to our own thing? It doesn't have to take 2 or 3 years. I hear what you're saying. It will take that long. I'm not denying that it will. I'm saying it shouldn't. It shouldn't take that long.
Of course it shouldn't. But we shouldn't have, kids that age doing crimes either and snubbing their noses at, adults, and there's no respect anymore and there's no consequences. So this is what we have bred. This is what the current government has bred, and it's a generation of untouchables, and that's exactly what they are, and they know it. So until you start with a zero-tolerance policy where, hey, you're going to do this, you're doing time now, mandatory sentencing is the only way you're going to have instant or quick results. The rest of the longer-term results, as we know in government, it takes too long, it'll take forever. So we need
It was put to me, Danny, that it needs the same approach. So not the same mechanics or detail, but the same approach as what happened with the bikies. Now, whether you agree with what happened with the bikies or not, I'm talking about the way that it was rolled out. It was rolled out, it was announced on the Monday, and by Tuesday, everyone, the community, the bikies, the bureaucrats, knew that this was a line in the sand. And it was that immediate action, and it was a whole of government focus, and it was the absolute priority, and it did get results. Again, I'm not asking for people to agree with the actual mechanics of what happened, but the approach, and it was an instantaneous line in the sand, and it was put to me that the same thing needs to happen on youth crime.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Zero tolerance. Make your have some consequences. I mean, I raised two kids. I mean, if they were carrying on the way of these kids, there would be consequences.
Well, they wouldn't be out on the street in the first place.
No, they wouldn't be. And then, if you talk to Paul Taylor about, the behaviour, and these kids don't go to school, they're not even enrolled in school, which is the other scary thing.
Yep.
They don't get breakfast, lunch. They steal to feed themselves. The school's no place to be. Those sort of social problems are much more complicated and longer-term fix. What I'm saying at the moment is until we introduce some mandatory sentencing, which won't happen, ALP will never do it. I don't even know if LNP will do it, because
They won't.
It's about a leader who's got some guts to actually fix the problem, not talk about it and not come up with an handy-pandy solution. We're all sick of that. We're all sick of talk. We're all sick of, you know, the spin coming out of the political system. Oh, look at these changes we've made to the laws. Do you think a kid cares whether his sentence could be 7 years or 12 years? He's never going to get more than 6 months anyway because of all the precedents. Yeah, so exactly. It's just a circus.
Exactly.
So, you know, the only solution at the moment is much, much harder, coming down on them with consequences for crime. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen with this team of government. They're just too gutless.
Danny, I've got to leave you there. I really appreciate your contribution today. Managing Director CBRE Cairns, Danny Betros. Don't go away, Gavin, because I want to bring your attention to another matter. This is just what a shambles this juvenile justice system has become. Now, this was the police report of not the Monday yesterday, but the Monday before. Here's what it read, the police report. Shortly after 5 p.m, police responded to reports of an alleged assault and robbery on a bus near Kamarunga Road. Upon police arrival, the bus driver, a 53-year-old Cairns woman, had sustained minor injuries. She was transported to Cairns Base Hospital for treatment. A passenger, a 37-year-old Trinity Beach woman, also sustained minor injuries. She came to the assistance of the driver who was being attacked by four teenage girls in Caravonica. Now, upon arrest of the four girls, it'll be further alleged a 13-year-old girl spat on a police officer. Now, just keep that in your mind for a moment. Then I turned to the report the day afterwards. It was in the Cairns Post, and I've got a brief version of it here, and it's under the heading, "It Could Have Been a Homicide." Now, it goes on to say a teenager's been granted bail a day after her arrest over the alleged stabbing attack to girls' dog park, which top cops said could have been a homicide. Now, this is a 15-year-old Yorkies Knob girl charged over after two teenage girls were allegedly stabbed while walking their dog in a park in Smithfield Monday night, the day after what happened over in Red Lynch with the attack on the driver. And police said a male, a family member of the younger teenager was allegedly assaulted during the incident after coming to assist the pair. Now, on Tuesday night, police arrested a 15-year-old Yorkies Knob girl. One count each of grievous bodily harm, common assault occasioning bodily harm, serious assault, police officer. Acting Inspector Jason Chetham said this incident could very easily have been a homicide at Rainy Mountain Park, Smithfield. We had a 17-year-old, 18-year-old walking their dog. They were subject to verbal abuse by another group of teenagers. The girls they called for some help to their parents. When they arrived, it became physical. The victims managed to leave and went home before calling an ambulance because both girls were allegedly wounded, with one of the girls sustaining a severe injury to the abdomen and a punctured lung. Now, this is what Inspector Chetham had to say. According to Inspector Chetham, the two girls and a group of teenagers were known to each other from the local area, and at the moment there was no established motive for the alleged incident. A man close to the 17-year-old described it as a vicious attack. She got stabbed in the bicep and a friend got stabbed in the chest, missing her heart by 4 centimetres. Now, she was admitted to hospital. A hospital spokeswoman confirmed the 18-year-old was admitted in critical condition. Wait till you hear this. So you flip over the page and you find out that Inspector Chetham said as a result of investigations, police had identified the 15-year-old as being allegedly responsible for the separate assault on the Sunbus driver the previous evening.
You're kidding.
I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. But they're in and out. The revolving door, I presume it's 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, out on the streets again, and this could have meant... It could have been a situation that took the life of that innocent girl walking a dog in the park.
Well, you know what's frightening, John? We live around the corner from that Smithfield Park where that attack happened. I've got a 13-year-old daughter. She asked to walk to the Smithfield Shopping Centre to go to the movies with her friends. Now, hearing that news, which I heard about last week, words escape me to the fact that my 13-year-old daughter... going for, it's only a kilometre or so, to go to the movies with her friends could have been walked into a situation like that where this gang of kids, these other teenagers, are carrying knives and not only carrying them, but using them to almost fatally wound a, what, 17 and an 18-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you just, I mean, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up to think that you can't even let your 13-year-old and an 11-year-old son walk a kilometre to the shopping centre the way that we, of course, used to because of this type of bullshit. I mean, it is terrifying. They can't leave the house now because this type of stuff happens?
Exactly. The point to be taken from this discussion this morning is we are all in this together because we're all targets. We're all targets of this.
Walking their dog. Exactly. They were walking their dog.
Exactly, and almost lost a life in a critical condition in hospital. We've got to find a way. Please, everybody, focus on us all together finding a way through this nightmare. Gavin, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, John.